From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show.
Yes, and welcome to another Friday afternoon coming to you from the studios of 103.2 Dublin City FM. This is indeed Dublin's only garden radio show, The Sod Show, brought to you in association with the wonderful gentlemen and ladies of greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. To my left, of course, is the wonderful and genuinely good-looking fellow that is Mr. Niall O'Keefe. Niall, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks, Peter, and thanks for the compliment. You are, of course, too kind. This is a face for radio.
Niall, we have an odd show this week,
yep,
because for those who might remember about 3-4 weeks ago, we did note a little bit of audio where a gentleman by the name of Philip Voice, no stranger to the Sod Show, had taken a ride on lawnmower and decided to drive it from the south of France to the tip of Scotland. It's not gardening, but it is. Isn't it?
I guess it is. It still fits the show. Not so much about gardening in this case as about gardeners and what can be done to help them out when they really need it.
Yeah, but it kind of leaves it to the point where you might say it's more not horticulture than horticulture, yet it's still gardening, yet it's still right on lawnmowers. It's an interesting story. Is it the funniest one we've had on the show to date? The oddest, funniest, is that the right word?
I don't know if it's the oddest or the funniest. It is funny in parts, but I think it's a very heartwarming story too. It's one well worth featuring on the show, so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, well look, let's not beat around the bush. For all of the show links and notes and things that you might hear, you'll find them, of course, all over on sodshow.com, the website, the home of the podcast. And if you have any queries or you don't remember any of that, you can just hit us up on @sodshow on Twitter and you'll get it all there. And without further ado, let's get the star of the show on the line, Philip Voice.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Phil. How are things with you? Hey, do you remember the last time you were across in Ireland?
I still remember the trip when we came over, and I've got a picture of the pint of Guinness, my first ever proper pint of Guinness in Ireland with the shamrock on the top. I've still got a picture of that on my iPhone, which I have a look at from time to time.
Yeah, I remember that quite well, Philip. The man in question did comment on the fact that you were not of a very strong Irish accent. And he did ask you, as he giggled, would you like a shamrock on the top of your pint? And I think you queried to me why I wasn't getting one on mine. But yeah, it was one of those nights to remember. But today's radio show isn't really about us reminiscing and me bringing you out and about and showing you the wherewithal of the backcountry of Ireland. It's a little different. And it's a little different to the point that you set yourself a different type of a challenge.
Yeah, it was. I mean, things like this have been done before, but cut a long story short, was sitting on a mower from my home here near Bergerac in France for 1,250 miles all the way up to the northern tip of Scotland to John O'Groats. It's a fundraising exercise to bring money in and raise the awareness of a charity called Perennial in the UK. And really the mowathon, excuse the pun, became a vehicle to help to do just that.
How are you after a journey like that? It must leave you, you know, a little bit sore.
No, it was strange. It didn't. I was expecting, and people were saying to me, take your sheepskin rug for the seat, but it was unbelievably comfortable. Even though I had to have my foot permanently placed on the accelerator because there was no cruise control,
yeah,
I didn't feel any aches and pains at all.
You think you'd get a little bit stiff from holding, particularly holding a leg in an exact same position the whole time?
Yeah, you would, but no, not a problem. Actually, testament to the machine, which is, you know, Artesia supplied. If you're going to use it commercially for 8 hours a day for, you know, for weeks on end, you know it's going to be a comfortable machine to use.
Was this just like a straight off the shelf ride-on lawnmower that you get in a regular kind of ride-on lawnmower shop? I don't know much about them, but or had you made any kind of modifications?
No, it's not the type of mower that you would buy for regular garden use. Although
right,
it is a commercial machine, but it hasn't been modified at all to do what I needed it to do. So it's for a commercial, you know, councils, contractors who work in local parks, in schools, etc. It's the type of machine they would use normally, and it had a cab on it.
So it's more like it's halfway between a regular lawnmower and a tractor, say.
It's nearer a regular lawnmower than a tractor. It's much, much smaller. It doesn't do anything except cut grass. It can't do any other tasks.
You're not talking 2 litre diesel engine here, though, are you? How big of an engine has it? How fast does it go?
It's a 3 litre machine, but its average speed was 7.5 miles an hour for the entire journey.
And you did 1,250 or so miles.
Well, I actually did near a 1,400 in the end, but...
Wow. How long did that take then, all told? A couple of weeks, really, then, isn't it?
Yeah, I started at 6 o'clock in the morning on the 1st of October, and I arrived on the 14th of October in John O'Groats at 4:45 in the evening. Although I did have one day where I was doing a lot of press in France, so on the first Friday I didn't really do a lot of driving.
Did you need to carry much fuel around with you, considering the size of the vehicle? How did you refuel? Were you pulling into petrol stations off the highways in France?
Yeah, that was what I tried to do. I did carry 10 litres of fuel as an emergency supply, which I only called upon when I was desperate, and that happened once. It was really quite scary. It was getting dark and it was raining, and I was in Scotland, not long over the border, and I was miles from absolutely anywhere, and I put in my last 10 litres of diesel out the emergency supply, and I got to Peebles in Scotland on fresh air, basically. No phone signal to phone anybody if there was a problem either.
Oh my gosh, so you're basically driving on fumes at that point.
I was a little bit worried at that stage.
There must have been some points where you're looking at what you're doing and thinking, this is a bit bonkers. No, I'm going back. It just doesn't work. It's crazy. There must have been one or two points.
You know, Niall, I was driving down, I've got a 300 metre track where I live in France, and I was 100 metres down. It's a bit bumpy. And I couldn't go very fast because the machine was all over the place. I was jumping up in the air. And at that point, I was literally 100 metres into the journey. I thought, oh dear. Oh dear.
That soon. Okay.
But I had 140 miles to do that day, bear in mind the speed I'm going, because I had arranged to stay with friends. And I just, something kicked in, and I just got into that mode, and I just put my foot to the floor. I was relying on satellite navigation, so I didn't have to map read as I went along. But I just got into that mode. And after that, I loved every minute. I had a few scary moments, but I just loved the experience.
It must be one of the only lawnmowers in the world that actually actively needs a GPS system. But I suppose, did you experience a lot of bad weather?
No, I didn't. No, I was quite lucky. We did have some rain, but certainly leaving France, the weather was very stable. I had some rain up near... I woke up one morning going up towards northern France where I'd left a suitcase in the grass box at the back overnight, and the little air holes at the top that let the water in and saturated all my clothes.
Oh dear.
But I did have rain, but on the whole, it was very good. It got cooler as I got further north, as you would expect, but no, I was very lucky. And whilst I was travelling, the weather up in England was poor, but as I got further north, it just sort of parted for me, and I was very lucky. And
was there anybody coming out to cheer you on as you slowly went through their villages? Any kind of kind passers-by supporting you?
Yeah, definitely. I had several people, I had lots of people following my journey. I had a live GPS tracker, which is embedded into my iPhone. It's called Instamapper, and it allowed me to embed a map into the websites that landscape juice that I run. So people could see my progress. And it allowed some people to say, right, I know Phil's going to be here at a certain time, I'll go out and meet him.
Yeah.
But also along the route, we did some press, we did some television, we did some live radio in the morning breakfast shows. And I stopped one particular day at a post office, and three elderly gentlemen came out and started talking about the machine, and realised it was me that heard on the radio that morning. So they thrust £2.50 each into my hand. Now, that happened two or three times. A couple of gents in Silchester near Aldermaston were sitting at a pub. We actually stayed at the pub that night in the car park, and they'd seen me on the BBC news, so they came out and text some donations immediately into our fund. And one particular lady, as I was going round Drum the Drocket on the Inverness Road, around Loch Ness, a lady came running out from a coach trip, and she was waving and thumbs up and cheering me on and clapping. Lots of people were doing that, and thumbs up and car horns.
Excellent.
It was really good.
It was quite an experience then, really, wasn't it?
It was, and do you know what? I didn't get a great deal, if any, dissent from any drivers, even I was holding a few up.
I can
not
imagine.
Not really any impatient people.
You were saying about the radio stations, the BBC, ourselves on the Sod Show on Dublin City FM, talking about it as well. But I mean, apart from that, apart from the actual radio stations, you had a essentially your own online radio station, in that you were posting audio boom messages the whole time. What put that into your head?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, from my previous experience on the Sod Show, and I came over and met Peter Donegan and stayed at his home, and we did an interview for the Sod Show then. And amongst bloggers, we know about audio boom and the little tips and tricks, as you would know. We've had these tools available for some time, and what people like to hear is the personal experience, and that's what I tried to give. You know, they could see live where I was on the map, and it was an emotional journey for me, and I put some of that emotion, hopefully, into some of the audio booths I did. Standing at War Memorial, for instance, you know, Sherman tank in northern France, and just
we had that particular one on the show where you were standing in front of the Sherman tank, and it
exactly.
got quite a reaction too.
Okay, Niall, Philip, sorry folks, have to interrupt you ever so slightly there. We're going to take a wee little break, going to go for Song of the Week. This one, well, how do I say it? We found it a little bit hard to come up with a song of the week that was best suited.
Yeah.
We were thinking something with a tractor, and then we were kind of going, well, it's not really a tractor, and we don't really know any songs with Ride on a Lawnmower in the title of it. Maybe this one is a little bit fitting. Well, it's the best we could do, and that was indeed Bruce Springsteen and Radio Nowhere. Probably quite appropriate for those of you listening to us somewhere, and us talking to Philip Voice, who was somewhere else.
France, Peter, France.
Depending on where you are, you might believe that we are actually coming to you from nowhere, somewhere. I Yes, okay. What? This could go on for a while.
Well, then, that's exactly why I'm going to interrupt you here, Peter. And I'm going to go back to Phil on the phone. And, Phil, I'm going to ask you, what is the next kind of step then in your what's going to be the Landscape Juice media empire? Will we be seeing Phil going around his moor on the Top Gear test track with Jeremy Clarkson? Or what's happening next?
Well, actually, my son wrote to wrote an email to Top Gear to see if they would be interested in one of their famous challenges with Captain Slow trying to beat us on a mower to Scotland, but it didn't happen. But one of my aims is to try and help in our industry, as Peter will know, because he's been in it a long time as well. The welfare system is pretty non-existent for self-employed people, and I want to continue to help raise the profile of the thousands and thousands of people in our industry that need help. And we're looking for that next challenge. I mean, one of the things we're hoping to do potentially is drive around the British Isles coastline on a two-seater, so all the members can interchange and take it in turns to sit with me and do the journey. But if anybody's got any suggestions that something is a bit wacky, apart from jumping out of aeroplanes, I don't think I can handle that. But
in a mower, maybe.
You know, in a mower, yeah.
that's where Perennial come into it. I mean, for our listeners who aren't familiar, obviously we're an Irish show, but we've a bit of an international edge. But Perennial are a purely UK charity. But for those who aren't familiar with them, as you mentioned, they used to be the Royal, what were they?
The Royal Gardeners Benevolent Society. They've been going for 150 years, so it's a very old charity.
And what is it essentially that they do then? It is for gardeners who've fallen on harder times?
Yeah, it's not just gardeners. It could be greenkeepers, it could be landscapers, basically anybody who's working in or is retired from working in horticulture and all the related trades. But what they're finding now, Niall, is, and this is interesting, because we all associate help and assistance and benevolence with retired people who perhaps have become a bit infirm, can't do the things they used to do.
Sure.
But Perennial are telling me, and this is all confidential, I don't know the names of the people, but they're telling me that the age group of the people that are asking for assistance is coming down significantly. So we're talking young people with young families who, through perhaps the recession or through illness or some other problem that's afflicted them, they're asking for help through Perennial. And this is why we really want to raise a profile of, because and get rid of this stigma attached to asking for help, because there are people suffering. People like you and me, we're ordinary people. You know, it's not something that afflicts somebody that we don't know. It afflicts normal people, family members, friends and whatever.
And gardeners and horticulturists in Ireland would also be affected in similar ways. I live in a city centre apartment with a very small balcony, and that's my garden, and that's fine by me in Ireland, because I'm the non-gardening yang to Peter Dunnigan's yin. He's the gardening head of this show. but from an Irish point of view, would you think of taking any of your charitable efforts to Ireland? Maybe drive a lawnmower around the coast of Ireland.
I tell you what, why don't Peter and I get together and do something? Because combined with the followers we've got on social media and what the good work Peter and yourself have done to raise gardening through your podcast, and congratulations for your award as the best podcast in Ireland, by the way. That was super news. But we've got lots of members in Ireland on Landscape Juice, so it is difficult to be all-encompassing, but we have members who are active on the network who get help and information from their peers. But let's do something. I'd be happy to, love to come to Ireland and do something with Peter and do something to raise the profile there as well.
Hey, listen, that is absolutely a brilliant suggestion. Maybe those of you at home, you think you might like to get involved in this one? You think you got a suggestion? Is there a company in the trade in Ireland? Maybe we might like to tie up and see if there's a way. Niall, would you do this?
Do what exactly?
Would you go co-pilot on a ride-on lawnmower with me around the peripherals of Ireland? Something you would be into?
Oh, here, I don't know, Peter. I don't know if our respective other halves would be too happy with us driving off into the sunset together for a couple of weeks around the Irish coast.
Through all of the odd weather, the bad weather, the good weather.
Yeah, I don't know how that'll work out. But look, let's get back to the star of this week's show, Phil. Phil, what is, now that you've finished with the mowerthon, what's keeping you going at the moment? What's keeping you busy?
Well, I'm actually landscaping my own garden, which I've been doing for about, I've lived here in France for nearly 8 years, or just over 8 years now, and I'm just about getting a terrace to sit on. so I'm having a bit of a rest, I'm having a little bit of a holiday, and we shall get stuck into we upload documents, we provide insurance for members, anything to help them with their business. So I shall be continuing with that and doing as much as I can to help my fellow practitioners.
When it's your own garden, there's a lot more, you know, personal passion involved. It is an ongoing project then, isn't it? It's something that never ends, really.
Yeah, and I've had to do a lot. I bought a farm that was with my wife and my family. We moved here, and it needed a lot of work just to get to live in, so the garden wasn't a priority for me to start with. But now we're at that stage where we can think about relaxing a bit, and it's a labour of love, but it's taken some time.
Great to be at that point. Listen, Phil, the sponsorship for the Morathon, the money collecting for that particular cause is still going on, isn't it? People can still contribute.
It is. We actually officially got the Just Giving page, the donations page, open till the 28th of November. And I would like to say, actually, Niall, the machine, which I've nicknamed Etty because she's an anaesthesia, is being auctioned off after the 15th of November. And Etesia, who've been superb throughout all this, they're going to auction the machine off. They're going to take a little bit of money out to pay some of the expenses because it's cost them a lot of money to do this for us. Mm. And any of the surplus is going to be put in the fund to go towards Perennial as well. But if any of your listeners want to put a fiver in, if they go to justgiving.com/Morathon, then there's still time to pop a bit of money into the pot and help other people.
Sure, and they'll take our euros as well, of course. And we'll, of course, link to that address on sodshow.com, and we'll put up the information about the auction of the Etesia machine. So somebody else, I suppose, can enjoy cutting their grass with that machine, knowing the history and how well it's served you.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a great talking point, won't it, in the pub and with family and friends to say that, you know, I'm cutting your lawn, I'm cutting your football pitch with a machine that's driven from France to Scotland. And of course we're going to do a little certificate and signs, you know, add some provenance to the sale as well. So there will be a great little bit of history attached to the machine.
Did you cut any grass on your way up from France to Scotland, or was it all about the journey? You were just making sure you got there.
It's funny, actually. I did a tiny little test here just to see how the machine operated. I literally did about 2 metres, and the standing joke amongst all of the members and the people I spoke to was, I suppose you'll be cutting the verges all the way to Scotland, and, you know, it was a bit of a laugh. And I didn't cut a single blade of grass on the journey. So when I got to the lighthouse just past John Groats, I thought, I can't do this without cutting any grass, so I did a couple of strips on the grass next to the car park.
Oh, right at the end. Obviously, as you said earlier, there were kind passers-by supporting you along the way, people coming out and talking to you, but I suppose you must have had sponsors on this trip as well, and is there anybody then specifically sponsor-wise that you'd like to thank as well?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, there's been so many. Of course, Etesia, without whom this trip would never have got off the ground. Actually, I'll tell you a little funny story, if I may.
Yeah.
It was a bank holiday here in France, and I was sitting at my desk thinking of something to do, and I've always wanted to do a charity event, and Perennial were the ones that I was thinking of. So I emailed the UK general manager of Etesia, Les Malin, and said, Les, I'm thinking of doing this, driving a mower from my home to Scotland. He immediately emailed to Patrick Vives, who's the president of the whole... This is owned by the Wolf Group, Wolf Tools, so it's a big company in France. And within 1 hour, I had the full support of the president, the promise of a machine, and all the backup for the whole journey. So from a sponsorship point of view, Etesia have been absolutely magnificent. Mm. And so too Perennial for supporting and helping with some organisation and generally supporting me along the way. Forecourt Fuels have helped us with the fuel, supplying a fuel card. But it's so difficult for me to remember everybody because there's been so many involved. Members of the network who sponsored me by paying for accommodation of fuel along the route, a friend who helped set up media coverage, paying donations. You know, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody. I can't list them all. It's impossible, and I don't want to single anybody out as being favourites, because without the support of everybody, this just wouldn't have been so successful.
Well, the list goes on, and as we will with the mentions of how to sponsor further and how to get into the auction, we'll mention as many of your sponsors as you can remember on sodshow.com on the notes for this week's show. It's a brilliant cause, well done, and continued success for both Landscape Juice and your upcoming charitable efforts. We'd hope to see you in Ireland again soon, and we'll meet you for another Sod Show and another pint of Guinness.
That'd be fantastic, Niall, and thank you very much for the Sod Show and Dublin City FM for all your support as well, because, you know, that's meant a great deal to me, and hopefully we can, through this, get a lot more Irish members to join the network.
Philip, what can I say? It's been a pleasure to have a chat with you, to listen to you, to hear you speak. Without question, it is probably the most inspirational story I've ever heard that has Ride On Lawnmower in the middle of a sentence.
Thanks a million, Philip.
Cheers, Niall.
Niall, thank you so much. Another good show, wasn't it?
Yes, a great show this week, Peter. I was delighted to be able to talk to Philip thereafter, the sterling work he did for charity. And of course, as we said already a number of times, people can still contribute and go to his Just Giving page. All the details, all the links, etc., etc. We'll stick them up on sodshow.com on our show notes there. Nice and easy to find. Just go straight to sodshow.com. Now, Peter, I think before we go, we should thank one more bunch of people. And that's the listeners themselves. Go on, Peter. Thank them there in as poetic a way as you can possibly muster.
Thank you for your earbuds. Because without you at home, this show would mean literally nothing. Like standing in a park singing to a loved one who didn't exist, which would probably kind of just get you arrested or removed by the park wardens.
Wow. That was beautiful, Peter. I'm all overcome. You do the outro. You do it.
And what can I say? That is about all we have time for. It is another wonderful Sod Show and another wonderful Friday evening. I know the weather might be a little bit changeable. It's a little bit one of those, isn't it? Like the bad ex-girlfriend. I love you. I hate you. No, I really, hold me closer. No, get away from me. I'm telling my mom.
Okay, I'm taking Peter's microphone away as he's gone a bit funny there. Just have a lie down for a while, you'll be grand. Before we go, just a couple of things. We are hurtling headlong, precariously and sometimes hilariously, towards Sod Show number 100. Now, at the current rate of knots that we're travelling at, we should hit it sometime at the start of the new year 2013. If there's any suggestions you have for us on how we can mark this special occasion, get in touch with us. All the ways of doing so are on sodshow.com's contact page. Also, if you'd like your voice to feature on the show for any reason whatsoever, head to sodshow.com and find out more about the Audio Boo features, which allow you to record and upload a message for us directly through your web browser or mobile phone. Now, with Halloween just over, the next bank holiday on the horizon is the big one, Christmas itself. And of course, the Sod Show will have a Christmas special in December, featuring Santa Claus himself and possibly some of his elves. I know with the Irish ambassador to the North Pole, Elf Patrick, there a couple of years ago, and Elf Michael D showed up last year. Anyway, they'll be on the phone, and if you've any questions for Santa Claus or the elves, let us know, because we're putting our list together and checking it twice at the moment. And if you've any gardening news or announcements that you'd like read out on the Sod Show, feel free to get in touch via sodshow.com or find us on Twitter, where the handle is @sodshow. The next time you see a tree or a plant that you like and you want to know more, why not take a picture and send it to our Peter? Get a conversation going. Well, speaking of Peter, here is Peter.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him. What do we always say, Peter?
Whatever you do in the great outdoors.
And whoever you do with. Enjoy yourselves.
Bye.